Amen. I'm glad he still makes a difference. Amen. Mrs. Hall sings the song and Mom and Dad sing the song. May get them to sing it tonight. Thanks to Calvary, things are different. Amen. I'm glad the cross does make a difference. Christ makes a difference in people's life. Amen. If you would, get your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 13. And if you would stand with us as we honor the Lord's Word. Genesis 13. I'm not in Matthew chapter 7. I'm deviating from our Sermon on the Mount. And going to preach a Father's Day message as the Lord has laid on our heart. And I hope that it'll be helpful to you. I'm telling you one thing America needs. That's strong daddies. Amen. Our homes need strong daddies. And our nation needs strong daddies. Amen. Amen. I believe it's important. And one of the things that was mentioned in the primaries as heading up for the election, Donald Trump is not a pantheon of morality by any stretch of the imagination. But it does appear that he's got some family members something's gone right, at least it appears to be, in some of that family. And we need some help in our homes, amen, in our families. And not that dad needs to be successful in money, that's nothing wrong with that, that's good if that can be. But there's success way beyond financial success that we're needing in our homes and in our lives, amen. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10. I'll read a few verses. This be strange, to be honest with you. I've never preached on Father's Day exactly like this or this thought, but it's what's burning on my heart, and I believe it is the will of God. Genesis 13, verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly. Turn to Genesis chapter number 19. And there came two angels, verse 1. And there came two angels at Sodom at even, or to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself and his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall arise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I want to stop just a moment and say this. It almost pains me to even read those words. I can't read those words without saying, Daddy, what are you saying? What are you thinking? What are you doing? Jump down to the end of this chapter, verse number 29, towards the end, verse number 29. And it came to pass when God had destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave. By the way, that's where cavemen came in. They wasn't prehistoric monkey men. Amen. That's a figment of imagination. They did. People have lived in caves. Cavemen. Lot's one of them. Amen. Amen. He dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And here again, some painful scripture. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also. Go thou in and lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Again, I cannot read that without saying, Daddy, what are you thinking? What are you saying? And what are you doing? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. How we need it. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate that prayer, Brother Hall. Amen. Certainly, as men, we need wisdom. I'm preaching on that thought. I've just titled my message, Daddy, what are you thinking? What are you saying? And what are you doing? Amen. I'd rather preach an exciting message to the dads. But when I look around our country at the state of dads, there's not a lot of excitement. Amen. If not for the grace of God, any one of us could be in the same shoe they're in, the same position they're in. It's not that I'm exalting saying, oh boy, we've arrived and look down on them. That's not that at all. But we need some instruction in fatherhood in the day in which we live. Amen. Amen. I said earlier, I think it's right to honor parents, even if parents have not been always completely honorable. I will say this, it could have been worse, but for the grace of God. Amen. It could have. I don't know how bad you may have had it. I don't know some things you may have faced, like little Tommy in that story there, his dad apparently drinking, his dad apparently abusive, the things that went along. I don't know what you may have encountered, but it could have been far worse. Amen. Something happens when a man becomes a dad. Something happens. He all of a sudden realizes that he can no longer just be selfish. Now there's somebody else that he's responsible for. Now there's somebody else he's accountable for. I really believe becoming a parent ought to do something to mature us. Amen. It ought to do something to make us think on a more logical, a more spiritual basis. And we see that happen. There are men that don't think about entering the church doors until all of a sudden they've got a child and they start thinking, you know what, this child ought to be in Sunday school. This child ought to be in church. And that is right thinking. They should be. Amen. I don't think that you ought to send your children to church. I think you ought to take them. Amen. Amen. I don't think you ought to make sure they've got a seat. I believe you ought to sit with them. And in other words, you ought to go together to the house of God. I do believe that's right. But suddenly when a child is born into your family, you're thrust into the real world. And no longer an imaginary world, no longer a make-believe world, no longer a world of just fun and games and happy-go-lucky, let's see what happens. If it don't work out, I'll be alright. I'm strong, I'm resilient. I've got abilities in myself. I'm alright, I'll be alright. All of a sudden you've got a weaker vessel and you've got a totally dependent vessel in your hands. And it should mature you. Amen. All of a sudden you go to work whether you feel like it or not. Amen. In order to keep clothes on their back and shoes on their feet and food on their table. Amen. Suddenly you realize that life is a lot more serious than perhaps you've previously taken that. Amen. And so there's a great thing when a person becomes a father. You then have a life in your hands that is dependent upon you to teach and to train. Amen. To mold that life. You not only have a life, you have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Either in the bliss of heaven or in the blistering hell. They're going to spend eternity somewhere, and some part of their eternity may very well hinge on where you take them, what they see, what they hear, and what is instilled in their life. Amen. In the case before us here in this text, Genesis 13 and Genesis 19. First of all, we see in Genesis 13, Lot separating from Abraham. That's bad enough. But that's not all of it. The worst part is he pitched his tent toward Sodom. This generation is pitching their tent toward Sodom. Almost everywhere you turn, almost everywhere you go, seemingly things you hear, shocking, amazing, but it's happening at more regularity than ever before. People are pitching their tent toward Sodom. Lot did that very thing. Abraham was known for his faith. Abraham was known for his family. Amen. Abraham was known as a father. We talk about Father Abraham. Lot was a failure in all those. He was a failure in faith. He was a failure in his family. And he was a failure in his fatherhood. It could have been different. Amen. I can't imagine how a man could sink so low in depravity, be so emotionally and spiritually numb that he would offer the virginity of his daughters, the purity of his daughters for one night of safety from a perverse mob that was beating at the door. I can't imagine a man that's willing to take his daughters and their purity and sacrifice that to a group of perverted, wicked, debauched individuals in the street. I can't imagine that. Brother Don Anderson said this years ago, and he said it right. He said, we're living in a day when we tie the dog at night and turn the children loose. Something wrong with that. We don't want just any mongrel mating with our dog, and we want to keep it pure. How much more should we protect the purity of our children? Amen. Then in the final subject text that we read to you, we see Lot sinking even further. And I'll say it's utmost depravity. If it could be worse than Sodom, this situation of incest is debauchery that's hard to imagine, just to be honest with you. Now, I realize Lot was drunk. You say, so that was his excuse. But that's no excuse. I realized these girls apparently were wicked, although they were virgins. Apparently the only reason they hadn't lost their virginity is because they hadn't seen an opportunity. All of a sudden they're finding an opportunity. They're working a way around. I don't know where they learned it. I have no idea how they came up with this idea, how the idea came into their mind. But I'm going to say to you, when I read that, I would say, girls, what are you doing? What in the world is in your mind? What's going on in this plan that you've got? But then I say to the dad, because listen, dad is responsible. He's the one that got drunk and zonked out of his gourd. He's the one, I know they made him, he said, he didn't twist his arm and make him drink. He didn't knock him in the head and pour it down his throat and cause him to swallow. He drank it willingly, and even though he's out of his head doing things he never thought he'd do, he's responsible as the dad. And so it ends with that sad phrase that I read, verse 36, they were both. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Again, I say, Daddy, what are you thinking? What are you saying and what are you doing? I'll start off in Genesis 13 with this first point. I'll say it began with a look. And so I'll say, Daddy, what are you looking at? Genesis 13 verse 10, the first phrase said, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Brother Bale said it this morning, read it right. Genesis 6, they took them, well, they saw that the daughters of men were fair in their eyes. They saw that beauty and they took of them all that they chose. And it appears to me not just the one they chose, but all that they chose. They took more than one, apparently. I believe in that case. I believe that the violence that covered the earth before the flood was the violation of the marital laws. And he talks about in Malachi chapter number 2. You hear that on my broadcast. That's airing now. But as that violence that he talked about, covering her garment with the violence, he said, be good to the wife of thy youth. And we're living in a day when they are violating the marital laws. They're violating marital vows. And they're having these relationships that are marital type relationships without marriage. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And it doesn't produce anything good. It only produces heartache and hurt and trouble. But it began with a look. Samson saw a woman of the Philistines. David saw a woman from the rooftop. I could go on and on in the Scripture. And I'll tell you, just to be honest with you, you can see women today. You can see a whole lot of women today. And I don't mean numerous women. I mean you can see a whole lot of the same woman. Shouldn't be that way. You ought to be careful what you look at. Amen. You do need to have your eyes open. Dads need to have their eyes open. They need to be paying attention to what's going on. They need to be recognizing where they are. But be careful what you look at, because what you look at will affect what you think about. It'll affect how you respond, and it will affect what you do. Amen. There's numerous needs to preach about guarding your eyes. There's nakedness prating around everywhere. Amen. I say this to all men, but particularly to young men, guard yourself from pornography. Because once it enters in the eye gate, you may not remember it explicitly, but you will remember it. And you'll have days and times of difficulty washing that out of your mind. It'll be there. Keep yourself from pornography. Don't look at pornography. It is highly addictive. It is morally devastating. And somehow it finds a way of transmitting itself through the generations. Matter of fact, I read a statistic that said that the majority, and I don't remember if it gave the number, probably did, but I didn't write it down, the majority of young men that claim to be addicted to pornography, they got started by finding their dad's stash. It's addictive. It's morally devastating. And somehow it finds a way of transmitting itself across the generations. Be careful what you look at. Today, with the advent of the internet, the pornography industry is just booming. Amen. They're just going everywhere. Amen. It's captivating more lives. It's destroying more marriages. It's warping the minds of individuals at an alarming rate. Probably more than any other time in history. Amen. I say, Daddy, what are you looking at? I say this. Dads have no business. I'm really no man, but I'm preaching to dad, so let me say it. Dad, you have no business around something like a Hooters bar. Or a gentleman's club. A gentleman wouldn't go in such a place. That's right. Amen. Amen. You have no business in an adult bookstore. You have no business really in front of the average magazine rack in the average store. And no business there. There's no need for you to be there because it's not going to develop into good things. Be careful what you're looking at. You don't have any business hanging around women that are walking around or laying around in their underwear. Even if they call it a bikini, it's still bra and panties. Now, you say, preacher, that's plain. I know it is, and I don't preach this way many times. But when I do, I want you to understand me. That's all they are. You don't have any business hanging around that. If you see that somewhere, turn your head, turn your eyes, divert your eyes, and get away. That's just wise. Amen. Well, divert your eyes away from the nakedness. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble if you do. It'll cost you a lot if you don't. Begin with a look. Lot, lift up his eyes. I'll say something else. Men, you don't have any business looking at cheerleaders. Amen. Cheerleaders are really fornication leaders, adultery leaders. That's right. Surely you can enjoy a ball game without having to hike your skirt. Show off your legs. Amen. Amen. I really believe cheerleading is just an excuse to dress provocatively and just an excuse to show off their body. I believe that. Amen. Now, I put this note here. I am aware that there are many temptations to our flesh today. It seems that women wear less and less clothing. Perhaps what they do wear is more and more revealing every passing year. Today you don't have to go to a burlesque show to see legs and thighs and figures of women. You can do that in the average church now. Amen. I don't mean to be ugly, but I want to be plain. I want you to understand. Amen. What we're talking about. You can't control how everybody else dresses around you. You can't control that. By the way, let me stop off here. Daddy, you can control how your children dress. Or how your wife dresses. Amen. Matter of fact, this is what I believe. I know once they reach age and they're out on their own, they have that right. But I still really believe you have a right and a responsibility to at least say something about it. That's just not really good enough. That ought to be a little bit better. Let's try. Listen, what's wrong with being on the safe side of things? Amen. What's wrong with just saying, well, if that's how the world's doing, then I'm going to go another route. I'm going to do different than how the world's doing. Say amen right there. It is right. Say again. Lot lifted up his eyes, and he looked toward Sodom, and he wound up in Sodom. One fellow said it this way. He said, Lot peeked at Sodom, and he pitched toward Sodom, and he parked in Sodom, and he paid for Sodom. It's true, isn't it? I wrote it this way. It's almost tongue-tangling. The look led Lot to Sodom. And the look landed Lot in Sodom. Amen. Daddy, what are you looking at? What are you thinking? Look at the next verse, verse number 11 of chapter 13. After he lifted up his eyes and looked, then Lot chose. I'll stop there. My second point is, Daddy, what are you thinking? Because looking affects thinking. Amen. Lot made a choice. The choice was based on what he saw. Choices are results of thinking. By the way, that's why the world puts nakedness out in front of men and women now. It's to catch their attention and to get them thinking in a certain direction. Amen. It's to get our eyes, get our attention, and direct our thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says this, the first part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 9:4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He knew what they were thinking about. He knew their thoughts. I say, Daddy, what are you thinking? Philippians 4:8, we know this verse very well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can control what you look at. You can't control what you see, but you can control what you look at. And you can control what you think. You can't control the thoughts that arise, but you can control the thoughts that abide. Amen. Ladies, you know this in keeping house. Whether or not there's a man in the house, it gets messy. It just gets messier if there's a man in the house. But you can't control the fact that dust gets on the furniture. That dirt gets on the floor. You say, well, I just swept last month. And there's dirt in the floor. I mean, if you can see it past his socks and his shoes and his clothes. But the thing is, there's a constant upkeep. You can't stop the dust from falling. It just comes out of the air. You can't stop the thoughts from entering your mind, but you can control what stays there. You can get the gospel broom and sweep it. You can ask God through the Holy Spirit to cleanse your mind, to wash your mind. You can take the Word of God and you can wash your mind with the Word of God. Amen. 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 I say, Daddy, what are you thinking? You don't even need to think about adultery. You don't even need to think about drunkenness. You don't even need to think about laziness or think about selfishness. Amen. If thoughts of drugs enter into your mind, cast them out. Call on God. If thoughts of suicide enter your mind, cast it out. Call on God. Amen. Different thoughts may cross your mind, thoughts you've never entertained before. If the thought enters your mind to lay out of church, cast it aside. Get up and go. You'll be glad you did. Amen. You'll be glad you did. You have a family to raise. Are you listening to me, Dad? You have a family to raise. They need to see Daddy as a sober, hardworking, faithful, loving father. Faithful to his wife. Faithful to his family. Faithful to his Lord. Amen. These children need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you bowing your head in prayer. They need to see you singing in the congregation. They need to see you sitting on the pew. They need all that. See, they need to know that Jesus and His church are important to you. I say, Daddy, what are you thinking? And I read this text, and I say that to Lot. Lot, what are you thinking? Somebody said that Lot looked out over all that plain of Jordan. And, of course, the Bible says it reminded him of Egypt. I believe he saw something when he went with Abraham down into Egypt that he never got away from. Something that piqued his curiosity. And young men, be careful what you wonder about and what you think. Well, you know, I might like to investigate that a little bit more. There are some things not worthy of your investigation. You don't need to know everything. There's some doors you'd be better off not opening. Are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. There's some places you'd be better off not going. There's some things you'd be better off being simple about. Amen. God said to His people, He said, learn not the way of the heathen. But we're living in a day when people are learning the way of the heathen. Amen. Daddy, what are you looking at? What are you thinking? That look will develop into thoughts, and often thoughts are developed into words. And that's the next step in Lot's case in Genesis 19. And I read verse 1 through 8, but verse 6 through 8, we see the words of Lot. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I ask the question, how did Lot sink that low? It started with a look. It started with a look. It developed into thinking. And it became words. And can you believe the words he's saying? Lot has apparently lost sight of the immense value of purity. Lot has, it appears, has lost sight of the immense value of family. He viewed the immoral behavior of those around him, and instead of being repulsed by it, he came to accept it. He came to accept it as almost normal. And then he capitulates to their depravity. It's like this. And when I read that, I don't know how many times I read it. One time I read through it and I saw it different than I've seen it before. He went out the door. Verse 6, I believe, is how that starts. And Lot went out at the door unto them. And here's the phrase that got me. And shut the door after him. Here's what he said. Now, fellas, I don't want you doing this in my house. But whatever you do out in the street's all right. Amen. And by the way, I'm not the kind of pastor that gets in your house and in your business. I do believe that a lot of that is your business. Amen. But I do believe that it's right for me to preach and tell you there's some things ought not go on at your house. There's some things ought not go on in the street. Whether or not you're doing it in my house, whether or not you're doing it in the house of God. Amen. There's some things that ought not be. It ought not be so. Amen. And so Lot said, listen, now I don't want you coming in here. I don't want you polluting my house. But you can take my family out into the street and you can pollute them all you want to as long as you let me have some rest and you don't embarrass me in front of my friends. That's almost what he's saying. It's hard for me to imagine that a man could get that, as I said, numb emotionally and spiritually. I have actually heard parents say when their daughter shacks up with a man or sleeps around with several different men, I've heard men say, well, at least she's not a lesbian. As if, and I know that's bad. That's bad, bad. But as if I got to choose one, this is the one I'd choose. No. You don't have to choose either one of those. And I hear that too. I hear that in the dress code. Well, preacher wants us all us ladies to wear dresses, but there's some dresses not moral. Well, I didn't say I want you to wear immoral dresses. Right. Well, how come you think you got to wear whatever you wear has got to be immoral? It doesn't have to be. How come you think that they got to do? I mean, they're going to either be sleeping with men or they're going to be sleeping with women. No, they can stay pure. And that ought to be our goal. That ought to be our drive. That ought to be what we say. It ought to be what we think. It ought to be what we look at in our mind. Amen. That we recognize purity as being great. Amen. It's as if Lot says, don't commit sodomy on my doorstep. But you can commit fornication and adultery and rape. That's what he's offering his daughters. That's the same mentality. People say, well, at least she's not a lesbian. Don't commit sodomy, but you can commit fornication. You can commit adultery and rape. I don't know that. That's not as bad. Listen, that's crazy. That's crazy thinking. And that doesn't mean that I'm taking up for sodomy by any stretch of the imagination. Sodomy is a sin that God called an abomination. And it is abominable to me. I don't understand how that people can be that unnatural. But can I say to you that God also said adultery and fornication and rape are also wrong and that they're worthy of death, the death penalty. That's what he said. Amen. Just like sodomy. Right. The same death penalty. Amen. He didn't say kill them worse if they're sodomites. Amen. Now, I'm not saying go out and kill sodomites. I'm not saying go out and kill fornicators and adulterers. But I'm saying God said there's a death penalty involved. Amen. Daddy, you don't have any business saying certain things or something you don't need to say. You don't have any business talking provocatively to that young girl. Amen. You don't have any business commenting on her beauty, admiring her wardrobe, or examining her figure. Amen. Remember, God's going to call us into account for every idle word. But not just the words, but even the thoughts of men are going to be held in account before God. Amen. Don't be telling off-color jokes. Amen. Don't be making snide marks of innuendo, using your words to open doors for sinning. Amen. Amen. If you allow yourself to say things that are not right, you might find your children carried even further and do things you never thought possible. Lot's children did. Lot said, their purity ain't worth much. I'll offer them to these men. He never thought they would say, our purity ain't worth much. Let's lay with our own daddy. He never thought it, but it came to be. Daddy, what are you looking at? Daddy, what are you thinking? Daddy, what are you saying? Amen. And that gets me to my final point. Daddy, what are you doing? Here in Genesis 19, those verses that I read to you, verse 29 through 31 in particular, and I'm not even going to read them again. Once is enough for today. Amen. Just reading it is sickening enough. Amen. But notice verse number 29. I'd like to point out something. Verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain. Here's the phrase. That God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham. God did not deliver Lot or his daughters because of Lot's righteousness or his daughter's righteousness. He simply delivered them because of the prayers of faithful Abraham. Amen. The prayers of Father Abraham, if I can say it that way. Amen. But when I read this phrase some days ago, as a matter of fact, over a year ago, I noticed it said God, I underlined it, God remembered Abraham. How come Lot didn't remember Abraham? I mean, he's afraid of the men in Zoar. Why don't he run home to Abraham? How come those daughters didn't remember Abraham? Did they even know about Abraham? They said, there's not a man left on the earth. Amen. They said, our father's old. Let me see if I can find that. 31. Yeah, thank you. Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. And by the way, she's talking about after the manner of nature. She said, they're unnatural down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's no men left that are natural. Well, Abraham was. Abraham was. Abraham had some men that were. Abraham had a family. Abraham had, here's my thought. You'd think they had to know about Abraham because Abraham had just delivered them prior to this when those five cities that attacked, or five kings that attacked and they had the battles going on and they got carried away captive and Abraham came with his servants and went to war, praise God, and delivered Lot and his family back unto him. They had to know about Abraham, but did they think everybody's as bad as daddy is? And everybody's, I mean, the whole world, everybody's doing it. That's a phrase they had to apparently buy into. It's just natural. It's whatever. Every man's like that. Daddy, you need to prove to your boys, every man don't have to be like that. Amen. You ought to instill in your girls, every man don't have to be like that. There's too many of them that are. That's one reason why you need to be careful. Amen. I do think, I'll say it and I'll say it again and again. I do think that young ladies ought to dress modestly and it wouldn't hurt them to carry a firearm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Wonder why Lot didn't run back to Abraham. Here's what I personally believe. Probably his pride. Probably his pride. He remembered something about Abraham. I mean, he remembered Abraham was a decent man. He remembered Abraham was a devoted man. But Lot had got to hanging around men that wasn't decent. Men that wasn't devoted. Perhaps Lot had got to be too friendly with the crowd that was depraved. And that depravity would be... Let me get my wording right. That depravity would feel... would feel intimidated around Abraham's decency and Abraham's devotion. And so Lot didn't go back. But God remembered Abraham. Lot apparently didn't remember Abraham. Then I think about this young lady who said, our father's old. There's not a man on the earth to come in as after man on the earth. She seems to think that every man is either given over to unnatural perversion of sodomy, or every man is at least debauched in his sexual deviancy. She begins, and by the way, this is natural in a woman, she begins thinking about the desire to bear children. She begins to think about the desire to continue life, to have offspring, to have another generation. And she, it's almost like she don't think there's another straight man on the earth. By the way, if you're not straight, you're crooked. Amen. Apparently, not only did Lot not think about Abraham, it don't look like he talked about Abraham. Let me just stop right here. Do your children know about Abraham? They'll learn about him in Sunday school, but they got to be there. Amen. Are you talking about Abraham? And I know Abraham's not the all in all, the end all, but Abraham is the father of the faith. Amen. The father of the faithful. And he shows us the way of faith and the way to walk with God. Abraham shows us how to get back to the altar, how to stay at the altar, though you mess up. He did go down into Egypt. He did tell some lies, but he didn't live in Egypt and he didn't live a lie. He got back to the altar and he walked with God. Amen. Children don't need parents that are perfect. You know, they picked up on that on their advertisements about these foster parents. That children don't need perfect parents. They just need a parent that loves them. Well, I'll say this. Children don't need perfect parents, but they need parents that are walking with God. That when they mess up, they admit it and they get right about it. Amen. I mentioned about David. David messed up, but he didn't live that way the rest of his life and throw it all away and say, all right, there's no use me getting right. David wept his way back to God, and David walked with God the rest of his life. Amen. God help us do the same. Amen. If these girls had known about Abraham, about his faithful walk with God, they would have known there's some straight people somewhere. They would have known that he would have some good people around him. Abraham wouldn't have the perverts around him. He didn't even want their shoestrings. Amen. He wouldn't even buy shoestrings from Converse and Nike and these sodomite lovers. He said, I don't even want your shoestrings. Amen. They would have known, but they don't seem to have known. Amen. God help us teach our children about the people of God. If you allow your children to get enthralled with Hollywood, if they're chasing after the cartoons and the movies and the games and the sports stars and the action figures that are portrayed by our media, they may very well think everybody is some kind of a pervert. Amen. They may think everybody is some kind of a morally deviant pervert. But not everybody is living in sin. Not everybody is pitching their tent toward Sodom. Amen. There are still some that attempt to live for Jesus. Amen. There are some that attempt to live by the Bible. There are some that are faithful to God. There are some that are faithful to their wife. There are some that are faithful to their church. Amen. That's right. Our children need to see that. Daddy, I'll go back to Lot there. You know what? I say, what are you doing? Started with a look. Developed into thinking. ended up in words that I can't believe that a dad would say. Well, that didn't end it, but came to that point. And I can't really say this ended it, because it goes on for 10 generations. Lot's descendants went to hell. God said they're not allowed in the congregation of the righteous for 10 generations. The Ammonites and the Moabites, they were so angry at Israel, so had so much animosity towards Israel, so much animosity towards God. By the way, what they're doing is they're taking their babies and they're throwing them to the fire. They're throwing them to the fire god. Amen. By the way, brother Alfred Willis preached over there one night, Thursday night maybe, I think as it was Thursday night, and he preached about Ruth, and he said when Ruth's holding Obed, and she's lifting Obed up to God, they're calling him worship, she said, I'm sure she remembered Ophrah. That Ophrah, if she's got a baby, is probably throwing it to Chemosh. Everybody's not doing it. There's some people taking their children and saying, rather than sacrifice them to the devil, rather than give them to the world, we'll take them and we'll raise them and we'll put them in the house of God. We might not be able to keep them forever, but as long as we can, we're going to keep them in the will of God. Amen. Amen. Abraham, or Lot, I go, Lot, this terrible fourth thing that ended, the girl had a perverted idea, but there was a product involved that is almost acceptable today, and it's a product called alcohol. Daddy, you ain't got no business drinking the first beer. Not the first. You ain't got no business having a little wine. I know it's a little wine for the stomach's sake, and I understand the Scripture uses that phrase, but I'm telling you, you ain't got no business with alcohol in your bloodstream. It may cloud your thinking and cause you to do things you never, never imagined you'd do. I don't think Noah was accustomed to run around naked in front of his boys, but a little wine, and he did. Amen. Very obvious, Lot wasn't accustomed to doing what Lot did do, but a little wine, and it took him farther down the road than he ever thought it would have. Daddy, what are you looking at? What are you thinking? What are you saying? And what are you doing? Let's stand to our feet. His head's bowed and eyes closed. Daddy, please, please be a godly dad. Maybe you've messed up. There's not a dad that hasn't. I talk about Abraham. We can praise Abraham way up there. And should. But Abraham didn't do everything right. Mistakes will be made. But do your best to get back to the altar. Do your best to get back to God. Do your best to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, that You don't hide from us the terrible mistakes of some men in the Bible. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't gloss it over. It's hard to even read about some of these things. But Lord, it's almost every day now in America. They tell me that incest is far more regular than we would ever think. But it's not regular, Lord. It's perverted. It's sinful. It's destructive. Lord, I pray help us as dads to be serious about this thing. And Lord, we got young men that are not dads yet. We've got older men that are not dads. We've got ladies that'll never be dads. We got people that are not parents. But Lord, help us live our life that we can be a good example to somebody else. Because whether it's dad or not, some little boy is looking up to every man in this building. Some little boy, some little girl looking up to every woman. There's not a woman or a young lady in this building that doesn't affect somebody else's life. Lord, help us to live honorably before You. Dear God, help us to guard those little things, those little foxes. Help us shoot them and kill them and keep them out of our vineyard, because they will destroy our vines. We got tender grapes. Help us to keep out the little foxes. And if we'll deal with it when it's just a thought, if we'll divert our eyes when it's just a sight and it doesn't become a looking and longing and lusting after, we'll have a lot better benefit if we'll deal with it while it's small. Dear God, I pray, help us to do that. Help us to keep a clear slate between us and Thee. Help us to do our best to walk with You. And when we get dust or dirt in our mind, dear God, help us to sweep it out. Help us to cast it out and to call on God for cleansing. Lord, I pray, help the homes of our land, particularly the homes of these sitting on our pews. Lord, You get the glory. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, would you come and obey the Lord while we sing?
534.
534. While we sing, you sing together.